2 Kings chapter 5. This is the story of Elisha and Naaman. Naaman was the commander of the Syrian army. Now, the Syrians were the enemies of Israel. And of course, the army would have attacked Israel and fought them and killed their men and done bad things to them. But through Naaman, the Lord had given victory to the Syrian forces. So then, God uses people, even people who are not believers, in order to do his will. And his will, in this case, was to punish his people. Now, the fact that you're used by God to do his will does not prove that you're a good person. God uses all sorts of bad people to do his work and his will. Naaman was a great soldier, but he suffered from a terrible skin disease. Some Bibles say leprosy. And leprosy is a skin disease. It is more than a skin disease. It results in your fingers and your toes and eventually your hands and your feet falling off. And, well, now, yes, but in those days, leprosy didn't have any cure, and it was seen as a kind of a living death. In one of their raids against Israel, the Syrians had carried off a little Israelite girl who became a servant to Naaman's wife. Now that probably means they killed her mummy and daddy and her brothers and sisters. And so this little girl grew up there serving Naaman's wife, thinking, well, this is the family that killed my family. And one day she said to her mistress, "I wish that my master could go to the prophet who lives in Samaria." She meant Elisha. "He would cure him of his disease." When Naaman heard this, he went to the king and told him what the girl had said. The king said, "Go to the king of Israel and take this letter to him." So Naaman set out, taking 30,000 pieces of silver, 6,000 pieces of gold, 10 changes of fine clothes, and the letter which said, "This letter introduces my servant Naaman. I want him to be cured of his disease." When the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes. He was very upset, and he said, "How can the king of Syria expect me to cure this man? Does he think that I'm God with the power of life and death? It's plain that he's simply trying to pick an argument with me." Now, when the prophet Elisha heard about this, he sent a message to the king. "Why are you so distressed? Send this man to me, and I will demonstrate to him that there is a prophet in Israel." Well, you see how much value they placed on getting Naaman cured. A huge amount of money, 30,000 pieces of silver, 6,000 pieces of gold, just to get him cured. So Naaman went with his horses and chariot and stopped at the entrance to Elisha's house. So all these soldiers, horses, chariot outside the house. Elijah sent a servant to tell him to go and wash himself 7 times in the River Jordan, and then he would be completely healed of the disease. So Elisha doesn't even come out and talk to him. This man could have killed him. He had a whole pretty well army with him and all this money, and he won't even go out and talk to him. I don't think he was being rude. I think he was trying to demonstrate to the man that, look, what matters is the message. Not you, not me, not personalities, but the message. But Naaman went away furious, saying, "Well, I thought at least he would come out of the house to me, pray to Yahweh, his God, and wave his hand over my skin and heal me." And the rivers Abana and Pharpar back in Damascus, that is in Syria, are they not far better than these rivers in Israel? The River Jordan is not much of a river. You can actually walk over it in places. It's very shallow. It's just a stream. Surely I could have washed in the great rivers in Syria and Damascus and been cured. His servants went up to him and said, "But master, if the prophet had told you to do some great difficult thing, you'd have tried to do it. Now, just wash yourself, as he said, and be cured." So Naaman went down to the Jordan, dipped himself in it 7 times as Elisha had instructed, and he was completely healed. His flesh became firm and healthy like that of a little child. So he humbled himself. And of course, this does look forward to baptism, that you've got to humble yourself to be baptized. And that's why a lot of people aren't baptized, because they're not humble. And so he came up out of this river, and I presume the seventh time he came up out of it, wow, he was born again. He was like a little child. His skin was like that of a little child. So it really looks forward to how we are born again by baptism. He returned to Elisha with all his men. So he's got all these soldiers with him. And he said, now I know that there's no God at all, but only the God of Israel. Please accept a present from me. Elisha replied, I swear by Yahweh, whom I serve, I will not accept any gift. Naaman insisted that he accept it, but he refused. So Naaman said, well, if you will not accept the presents that I'm offering you, then please give me 2 donkey loads of earth, of soil, to take home with me. Because from now on, I will not offer sacrifices to any god except to Yahweh. So I think what he's saying is, I want a bit of soil of Israel, because I believe that your God is the God of Israel, and I want a little bit of Israel back home with me in Syria. But that was not how it was to be. Because God can be the God of everybody anywhere in the world. It doesn't mean that once you step outside of Israel, God is somehow not your God. Anyway, it seems that Elisha allowed him to take this. It was what you could say was a concession to weakness, that he was allowing the man's weakness. And then he asks for another thing. He says, may Yahweh forgive me when I accompany my king into the temple of the god Rimmon, who's the god of Syria, and worship him and bow down to him. May the Lord forgive me. And Elisha said, go in peace. And Naaman left. So he still keeps going to the idol temple, even though he now doesn't believe in the idol, because, well, that's what his master told him to do. Now, you've got to be very careful with this, that you can end up thinking, well, I can worship other gods. In my heart, I don't mean it that way. You think of Daniel. In the book of Daniel, he could have easily said, well, okay, we're not allowed to pray to any god for 30 days, all right, well, I will pray to God, but just in my heart, I won't make a public thing of it. Or Daniel could have said, well, I can eat the food that's been offered to idols, it doesn't matter. And the difficulty is that if we allow ourselves to sort of get away with it on some things, then you end up on bigger things falling into sin. So God does allow Naaman to do this, but as I say, you've got to be very careful allowing yourself to do this. He'd only gone a short distance when Elisha's servant Gehazi thought to himself, my master has allowed Naaman to get out of here without paying anything. He should have at least accepted something that that man offered him. I swear by Yahweh, I will run after him and get something from him. So he ran off after Naaman. When Naaman saw a man running towards him, he got down from his chariot to meet him and said, has anything happened? No, Gehazi replied, but my master Elisha just sent me to tell you that just now 2 men from the sons of the prophets up in the hill country of Ephraim have come, and he'd like you to give them just 3,000 pieces of silver and 2 changes of fine clothes. Oh, please take 6,000 pieces of silver, Naaman replied. Now, if you remember, he'd set out with 30,000 pieces of silver. He insisted on it, tied up the silver in 2 bags, and gave them and the 2 changes of clothes to 2 of his servants, and sent them ahead of Gehazi. When they reached the hill where Elisha lived, Gehazi took the 2 bags and carried them into the house, and sent Naaman's servants back. He went back into the house, but Elisha said to him, where have you been? Oh, nowhere in particular, Gehazi replied. So Elisha said, wasn't I there in spirit when the man got out of his chariot to meet you? This is not a time to accept money, clothes, olive groves, vineyards, sheep, cattle, and servants. And so it means, therefore, that though it's not recorded, that actually Naaman had given more things to Gehazi, even than clothes and money. And so may Naaman's disease cleave to you and to your descendants forever. So Gehazi went out from Elisha, and his skin was as white as snow. So what a sad ending to a wonderful story, that just materialism and coveting and jealousy. I want that money. I want those clothes. It all spoils, really, what was just such a wonderful thing. Absolutely wonderful. And that is how easily things can get spoilt when we are covetous.